Jesus tells us in the gospel today, do not be afraid, just have faith. Just have faith. Ultimately, that is what draws us all together in our Catholic schools. We want to pass on the faith. And I'd like to focus today on two different aspects of that. And one is the one that we might automatically think of, and that is that you want to learn things about the faith. That you are here, you take religion classes. For some of you, 12 years of your life, you've been taking religion classes. You've been learning a lot about God, about Jesus, about the church. That's why our Catholic schools exist. In fact, our Catholic schools exist for only one reason, to hand on the faith. There are lots of schools that you can go to learn things. But the reason why our Catholic school system was founded, the reason why we are here today, is because some people, our ancestors, when they came to this country, felt that it was so important to pass on our Catholic faith that it was worth founding an entirely separate school system so that we could teach our faith to our children in a way that we thought appropriate. We echoed the prayers of Jesus. Your parents, the prayers of your grandparents, is that they want you to have faith. And we know that part of the root of that is knowing the things of our faith. You can't love what you don't know. But the Catholic Church has an interesting kind of take on what this means to intellectually pass on the faith. Many people are not aware of the great contributions of the Catholic Church to just our entire system of education in general. In fact, the entire university system, the idea of a university, was created by the Catholic Church. There were no universities until the Catholic Church said, let's create one. And the model, the word university, it's meant to realize that uni means one. And they thought that with all the disciplines of knowledge and science and the humanities, that ultimately behind all of them is God, the unit, the one thing. The idea of a university is to say whatever we study, we're ultimately studying God. If we want to know more about the way God created the physical universe, whether we study physics or chemistry or geology or biology, we're ultimately learning about God. So the church said, let's found a university where people can study biology. I just, this last week, spent all day in the biology classes talking with the students there. One of the things that I often have to get across is that the Catholic Church loves science. We created science. The whole idea of science is that we thought that if we learn more about the world, if we study more, we will learn more about God. The same is true of the humanities. We feel that the more we study the human person, the more we look inside of us and see what makes us go as a person, the more we find that we're created in the image and likeness of God, and therefore the more we know God. The great Catholic intellectual tradition is one that encourages us to know and to know a lot. Sometimes people think that our faith is ultimately something that is unreasonable. When we say have faith, how many times do you think, well, that means I believe things that seem crazy? That's not faith. Faith is not believing things that are unreasonable. Faith is not believing things that don't make any sense. Our faith makes incredible sense if we take time to learn it. One of the great things that I hope happens that when I come into your classrooms, and I love to answer questions, to hear your challenges. Now is a great time to challenge. Why do I believe what I believe? What are the answers? The thing that I hope most comes across is that there are answers. When I was your age, I had things that I objected to what the church taught, not because I had learned about it, but just I thought it would be independent if I could have some things where I could say, well, I'm Catholic, but I don't really believe all that stuff just because somebody tells me to. I'm independent. Then as I studied the faith more, I began to find that all the things that I objected to, not only were there answers, but people asked those same questions over 1,000 years ago, and the church answered them long ago, and all the great minds of the church had already put a very logical explanation to a lot of my questions. It was a great kind of intellectual awakening, and part of our faith is intellectual. It requires the great gift of theologians who have thought about these things, who teach us. But we're not here today because some great theologians thought some great thoughts. We're here today because all of you, in some way, are called to be theologians, to take whatever it is you're going to study and find out what does God have to do with that, whether it's robotics or art, whether it's sports or music, drama, whatever we're doing, the idea of education, of knowledge, is to say that God is the root of all that, so we shouldn't be surprised if we find God there. That's why the church has been the biggest proponent of education in the history of the world. It's why we have our Catholic schools. But knowing, knowledge, is really only half of what faith is about. In fact, it's the root, but it's not meant to be the end of what faith is about. You can graduate from Bishop Miege High School, and you might get straight A's in religion and know all kinds of things about God. You can regurgitate what the catechism says and tell everybody, here's what the church teaches. And that would be wonderful. But that's not faith yet. That's knowledge, but it's not faith. When I was in Washington, D.C. with the March for Life just a couple weeks ago now, I had a chance, as we all did, to go out and see some of the great sites around Washington. And I love history, so I went to the National Museum of American History. It's a wonderful place that's got George Washington's uniform there and the Star-Spangled Banner flag that flew as the national anthem was written about it. Wonderful pieces of history. But they had a special exhibit on display while I was there that day. I went up to the desk and I said, I've only got a couple hours. I love history. What do you think I should see? And they saw that I was a priest, because I was dressed as a priest, and they said, well, you might be interested that we have a special exhibit just for these few weeks on Thomas Jefferson's Bible. Well, that's interesting. Yes, I'd love to see that, to see the Bible that Thomas Jefferson, our third president, used. But when I got to the exhibit, I found something interesting. Thomas Jefferson's Bible was not any ordinary Bible. In fact, what he had done was he had taken a Greek Bible with the language of the original New Testament. He had taken Latin, a French Bible, and an English Bible. And he had gone through and edited. In fact, he literally took a knife and cut out the passages that he didn't like. He said, if I don't like it, I'm taking it out. And he also took out all the miracles, the healings, everything he thought that was, you know, questionable in his mind. What he wanted to boil the gospel down to was just the intellectual moral teachings of Jesus. In fact, he didn't even call his Bible a Bible. He called it the moral teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. Not surprising, our gospel today didn't make the cut for Thomas Jefferson. He said, ultimately, this isn't important. What's important are the teachings. He wanted, in a way, to reduce faith down to just intellectual tenets, things to be memorized. He said Jesus was the greatest moral teacher that ever lived, so let's get rid of all the extra superfluous stuff like miracles, and let's just talk about his moral teachings. That's not faith. I was kind of sad as I looked, and they had not only Jefferson's Bible with all the little things pasted in that he saw fit, but they also had recovered the original Bibles that he had chopped up. And I felt kind of sad, because the stuff he'd gotten rid of, that's faith too. In fact, that's what faith is really ultimately about. I remember the first time I ever read today's gospel. I remember reading about this little girl who died. And Jesus comes, and I remember the astonishment in my mind when I read that passage for the first time and read, and Jesus said to her, little girl, arise. And the dead girl got up. Now, maybe we've heard that gospel so many times that that just flies by us. But do we get that? Jesus went to a dead person and said, get up, and she got up. That's amazing. That is ultimately what gives us great joy and zeal in our faith. Not that Jesus was a great moral teacher, but that Jesus came and did things that only God can do. miraculous healings, raising people from the dead. And sadly, in Jefferson's Bible, one of the things that didn't make the cut, if you can believe it, was the resurrection of Jesus. Jefferson's Bible ends with Jesus dead in the tomb. End of the story. I think that's tragic. That would be as if you graduated from Bishop Miege High School and all you knew was a bunch of stuff about Jesus. Without the resurrection, without the miracles, without the dynamic, active power of Jesus in the world, none of the stuff that you know means anything. It's just a bunch of stuff to memorize on a test and then it's gone. Faith is meant to transform your life. If what you learn here doesn't lead you to that personal encounter with Jesus, you've missed it. Just listen to your fellow students who talked before Mass about the way the mission trips, the March for Life, the National Catholic Youth Conference. They're not telling you, I learned this or I learned that. They're saying things like, it was the greatest experience of my life to stand and sing with 23,000 other Catholics who were joyful in the Lord. That was awesome. It's not, I learned this, I learned that. It's like, I had an experience. It's that kind of experience that is what faith is really about. To be like the apostles who were with Jesus, to say on the day of the resurrection, I have seen the Lord, he is risen, and now you want to go tell everybody about it. The goal of Catholic education is not merely to inform you, but to transform you. To transform you into disciples of Jesus who are ready to go out. You know, priests we truly call father for a good reason. In many ways, you are all my family. I was talking at Mass at Curia Vars this weekend about the celibate vocation and how I would think that I wouldn't have a family because I'm not married. And I said, actually, I'm a high school chaplain, and right off the bat, I got like 750 high school students. In many ways, I do consider you my family. And like any father, the father of a family just wants to see their kids grow, to fall in love with God, and to go out and do great things. I pray that your time at Bishop Miege High School, the great foundation that your parents laid for you over all these years, I pray that you will be thankful for that. But I also pray that you won't rest until you've found that relationship with God. That personal, deep relationship. That wonder that comes from saying, Jesus raised a person from the dead. What can he do for me when I feel dead in my faith? I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't have these experiences that other people had. I pray that Jesus will reach in, that you will be open and he will touch you, that he will transform you into his disciple. It's an exciting time. I'm so blessed to be your chaplain and share some of that excitement of Jesus with you. We can't take that excitement out of the gospel and boil it down to stuff to learn. The greatest joy we have as Christians is to find Jesus breaking into our life in unexpected ways. My great prayer for you and your time here, the great gift of Catholic schools, is that Jesus might surprise you, that you might find him studying physics or music or chemistry or English, that you would find Jesus in the political and current events, that you would find Jesus in your sports, that you would find Jesus on a mission trip at NCYC, that you would find Jesus in Washington, D.C. at a protest rally, that you would especially find Jesus as we all gather here in this community for Mass. May Jesus surprise you in your Catholic education, that amidst all the good things here, you might find Jesus, and that the miracles, the power of Jesus, would not only inform your knowledge, but truly transform your life. May Jesus bring about this great work in you, and may you go out and transform the world.